to be able to liberate them, they will need certain conditions. If one wishes to use one's own state of realization to benefit the dying person, then we should have the three auspicious methods, or the three supreme methods. The first is aspiration, and that is to liberate the dying person. And then doing it, the second is doing it, the actual practice according to the required practices. And in doing this, our mind shouldn't be dispersed and scattered. For instance, when we are reciting mantras or doing the practices, as best as possible, not give rise to attachment, aversion, and ignorance. Afflictions, and as best as we can, maintain a relaxed, natural state of mind. And in this state, practice, recite the mantras. And the third is the dedication. We must dedicate for the benefit of this dying person, all the merits. Dedicate that for the benefit of the dying person, that they may attain liberation, and really do it according to the requirements of the Dharma. And this is benefit with bodhicitta. And another is the blessing of our practice of a deity to help liberate this dying person. Many people have deity practices, and we can use this to help liberate the dying person. If you don't have deity practice, then you use bodhicitta. That's fine. Before starting to benefit the dying person, visualize yourself as the deity, for instance, as Amitabha or as Avalokiteshvara. And don't just suddenly decide that you're going to do this. You should have had sufficient time of practice to be able to do this. For instance, you have received the empowerments and you've received it from a pure lineage, and you have the experience of this practice in retreat. Then when you do this and you visualize the deity, it's really of great benefit. And what is most important when we are doing this as part of the practice is our belief in the deity. Our belief must be that right there and then, who is benefiting the dying person is the living deity, the living Amitabha, or living Avalokiteshvara. And without your own discriminating mind, I am such and such. Am I not really this deity? Does it really have merit? Does it have blessing? Will I be able to help this person? Am I really Chenrezig or Amitabha? If you don't have this belief in the deity, then don't visualize yourself as a deity. Just use bodhicitta. That's sufficient. If you do have this belief and this visualization, then when you are benefiting the dying person, it is going to be of additional benefit. And how do we do this practice? We have the corpse or the body of the dying person in front of us, and we have visualized ourselves as the deity. And as the deity, we visualize a radiant hong in our heart center. Om Ah Hong, this hong. And it's radiating out brilliant light. And with this radiant light, we close the nine apertures of the dying person, their ears, their eyes, their nose, their mouth, the nine apertures. So all open apertures are closed, and we open up the aperture at the crown center. We visualize it in this way. And then we visualize the mind of the dying person as a white R, the Tibetan R. Then we do the practices of the recitations, the sutras, whatever meritorious practice we're doing on their behalf. And then, as we know, the practice of Poa through the arising causes of that pit. And this pit is a energy. And with the pit, the white R of the dying person is shot into the heart center of the deity, and the dying person attains the merit of the deity. And then with the mind of the dead person being one with that of the deity, meditate for a few minutes. And eventually, to perfectly complete the practice, dedicate. And this is through the practice of visualizing the deity that we are benefiting the dying person. In addition, there is liberating the dying person from the state of the great perfection realization. And how do we do this? This, however, is from somebody who really has a very high level of practice, which is quite okay for somebody who's really practicing at a high level of great perfection. This, however, would not be easy for somebody that has not been practicing great perfection for a long time. What would we do is abide in the most inherent state of mind first, abide in the true nature of mind. Or you could say it's in that state where your mind is one with the state of mind of your teachers. While abiding in the true nature of mind, visualize the dead person's mind as a white dot. Then this white dot is projected in the method of pet, 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 and in the final pet, it is shot out into the great Dhammakaya, is absorbed into the true nature of mind. And then the death person attains the ultimate state of mind, or Buddhahood. And we use this method then to liberate them. And then abide in the state of mind for a while, for a few minutes, and then perfect the practice with the dedication. And this is the third method of liberating the dying person. Every time that you are benefiting the dead people, if you can, and you're normally practicing bodhicitta, then use the method of bodhicitta. If your practice is very established in the practice of the deity practice, and you have really attained some siddhis in these practices, then the use of the deity practice is even more beneficial. And the best or the quickest method to liberate them is abiding in the true nature of mind and in its ultimate state of mind, benefiting them. This is really the quickest method of benefiting them, the most beneficial method of benefiting them. The greatest method, benefit of liberating the dead person. These are the three different methods, and you use whichever method you are most accustomed and practiced in. And this has great blessing and a lot of merit. And these are the methods of liberation. And then also when we have invited over the monastic, we ourselves will do our own practices on the benefit for the benefit of the dead person. However, if the dead person has been completely liberated, this we don't know. And really it's because sentient beings' karma is very strong. And in this case, if we haven't yet been able to liberate them, and also due to the fact that their karma is very strong, sentient beings' karma is really strong. Due to the level of our karma, our belief in our root teacher, that this gives different varying degrees of being able to liberate the dying person. We can do as best as we can for the benefit of the dying person. We can do the preliminary practices, the aspiration, the practices according to the practices, recite mantras. You see, in Tibet, what do? For continuously for 49 days, they're continuously doing meritorious practices for the dying person, for the dead person. And every week, they'll invite a monastic or monastics to come and do liberating practices on behalf of the dead person. People may think, but we've already invited the monastic over once to liberate, or our teacher to liberate the dead person. Why should we then carry on for the next 49 days? And Rinpoche says, as we've mentioned before, sentient beings, because of their karma and their belief, are not so easy to liberate. And so we don't finish these practices until we have continuously practiced and dedicated for 49 days. Even although we've invited our root lama and the monastics to come and also do these practices on their behalf. Because we must take responsibility for the dying person. We take responsibility for their liberation. Whether the root lama has come and has actually liberated them already, no problem. We continue practicing. And this is respect for them, and also it is of benefit for them for their next life. And we do this for 49 days. We do offering of butter lamps, reciting of mantras, animal liberations, eat vegetarian food only, have the monastics come and do practices on their behalf. And we do this for 49 days. And then in this way, irrespective of whether they have attained liberation or not, it's a more safe and respectful way of helping them, and we take responsibility for helping benefit them towards their liberation. And this is a respect and also taking responsibility. And so what we do is we do the practices, we do animal liberations, butter lamp offerings, continuously for 49 days. In addition, any monastery that we go to, we can also request them there to do liberating practices for the dead person. And this may also be of great benefit and important to them. Maybe through our practices, they haven't had the arising cause to liberation, but through this, they do have this benefit. Every day in these 49 days, they are going to be experiencing the darkness of the bardos. Thus, those 49 days, we accompany them, and on their behalf, we do continuously do practices. We help them, and there's no contradiction in this. We do it once, we do it twice, we continuously do it. 49 days is insufficient. And every year, on the day that they died, we do the practices again. And this is of benefit to them, irrespective of where they are. And this, for our family members that have died, this is really respectful towards them and really of benefit to them. Continuously for their benefit, for 49 days, perform practices, invite over enlightened teachers, monastics, to do practices on their behalf. And in this way, their merit and the benefit of them for them is greater. And Rinpoche says this is what he knows from his experience, and when he has seen some of the dying people or dead people, the way the process of their death has been very sad. And this is also a great expression and demonstration of love and kindness towards the dying dead person. Thank you.